Good morning again, everybody. And I hope you're going to have time to hear this podcast as it's only a couple more days to Christmas Day. We've been looking at waiting during this time of Advent, and the waiting time is nearly over. Before we start this podcast, though, I want to read something from the Bible, and you've probably heard this over the last few weeks. As you've been listening in to services and carol services, but it's the opening verses to Luke chapter 2. It happened at that time that Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire world. This was the first such census and occurred while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All, therefore, went to be registered, each to their appropriate town. Joseph, being of the house and family of David, went from the Galilean town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem. And he went to be registered with his fiancée, Mary, who was expecting a child. While they were there, she went into labour, and gave birth to her firstborn son. She swaddled him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A very familiar story about how there was no room in the inn, and so Mary and Joseph had to go into the stable. Anyone who's ever commuted on trains know that it can be very, very busy. And when I was preparing for this, I remembered when I was a young child going on the bus in Blackpool with my mum. And when we went on the bus and I had a seat, if there was an older person there or a pregnant lady, my mum always said, "Come on, up you come, Ruth, and give the lady your seat." And I think that she was fuming. She would be really annoyed. She'd be in a frenzy if I didn't or was very reluctant to do that. I can even see her now. But when I was doing my ministerial training, I had to travel on the train to go to Manchester for 4 years. And mostly I went on the train. And I would get off at the... get on at St Anne's, and I would change at Preston and then carry on straight through to Manchester. And when I got on to Preston, sometimes there would be no seats, sometimes there were seats, but occasionally I would see young children sitting on a seat and their mums just totally ignoring them while older people and pregnant women were standing. And it came into my mind those words that my mum said to me, "Always give your seat for somebody else." And so while I stood there for quite a long time before the child got off the train, I was recalling this conversation with my mum. But carriages, train carriages, are already full to overflowing sometimes when they pull into stations. And what happens is, even though a few may get off, there's more people ever that heaving to get onto the carriages. Now, this may have happened to you if you've travelled on a bank holiday weekend or you've travelled to the coast looking for somewhere to stay. It's been hustle and bustle on the trains, only to find that when you get there, there's all no vacancy signs. Now, I think that situation must have been a little bit like Mary and Joseph. The hustle and bustle of actually getting to Bethlehem in the first place. Of just the actual effort of getting on a donkey and travelling a dusty road along with hundreds of other more people, the closer that they were getting to their destination. They would have desperately searched for something, I would think, even though they had possibly relatives in Bethlehem. The fact that they weren't married, it's interesting. In this account, you know, Mary is the fiance. She's not the wife, she's the fiance. So they're not even married and she's pregnant. So that in itself is a stigma for the family. But even though there was nowhere to stay, there was somewhere to stay in the end, and that was in a stable. But I think it's a symbol. This story is a real symbolic symbol of what's to come. Jesus found no room in the hearts of many throughout his ministry, and sadly continues to find no room in the hearts of many today. Christmas for many people over the years has been one about how many presents we can have, what expensive ones can we give the children. But I think this Christmas is going to have a very different feel to it. This Christmas, we value family. And it may be that we can't see our family for whatever reason. It may be that we do see our family, but there are precautions in place. Even the Queen is having her Christmas day and her Christmas lunch with Prince Philip with no family surrounding her. And we may imagine that we're different, that we would openly open our hearts to Jesus if he was knocking at the door. But this year, it's going to be more difficult than ever. I was talking to somebody only this morning, and he was telling me that there was somebody who just wanted to give to a family in need, whether they were presents or a gift. And did I know of anywhere? And I actually said, yes, I do know of somewhere. And I put him gave him the contact to phone. But actually, people are recognising, I think, now that Christmas is a time where people are needing each other more than ever. That the value of Christmas, I think, is more important now than ever. The meaning of Christmas is more important than ever. And that meaning of Christmas is about love and acceptance. It's about making room for others. It's about making room for Jesus. And the problem that we have sometimes is that we like to think that we would welcome God in our lives. But let's be honest about it. Sometimes that door is only half open. We allow Jesus to access certain areas of our lives, but keep others really ring-fenced. We make room for Jesus when it suits us. And at other times, we give him our divided attention. It's easy to fool ourselves that such a response will do when Jesus is knocking at the door asking to come in. Making room for Jesus in our hearts is what is the priority this Christmas. And not just Christmas, but each day. Each day Jesus knocks on our door and says, "Will you make room for me?" And sometimes we may open that door half-heartedly. Sometimes we don't want to open it because we've got too much in our lives that's absorbing our interest and absorbing our energy. And other times we fling that door wide open and embrace Jesus. We just can't wait for him to enter our hearts. And so today, as we are approaching the crib, as we recognise that Christmas Day, the day of Jesus' birth, is not far away, I invite you to make room in your hearts for Jesus. Don't do it half-heartedly. Don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it because everybody else says you've got to do it. I invite you to make room in your heart because Jesus asks you. Now, despite my words and despite everybody else's words during Advent and Christmas, Christmas is your time with God, is your time with Jesus, when God Emmanuel comes down to dwell. God chose to come down to us. And so now it is up to each one of us to make room for him in our hearts. And not just for Christmas, but for always. And let it not be a token place, but let it be to the very, very centre of our lives. And let's all say together, come now and make your home within me, Lord Jesus. I just want to close now by saying some words from John 1. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. I pray that this Christmas, that you will accept Jesus in your hearts and allow Jesus to be the centre of your life. And I wish you a very blessed Christmas. I pray that God's blessing and love will surround you this Christmas time. Amen. Well, goodbye, everybody, and I shall have a good Christmas, and I shall speak to you next week. Bye-bye.